Amen. Thank you to our readers. Thank you, Peter. When I was at school, many, many years ago, I remember reading a book by Spike Milligan. Very much a boy's book, so I apologise, ladies, if you haven't read it. It was called, Spike Milligan, Hitler, My Part in His Downfall. And it was Spike Milligan reminiscing on his time as a national serviceman. I think from memory he was in the artillery. And he sort of speculated as to how significant his very small part was in winning the war. And I wonder if perhaps you, like me, sometimes wonder how significant my part is in winning God's war. Satan, what's my part in his downfall? What's my part in God's plan? And if you do ever wonder that, and I'm not saying that I'm doubting my faith, I'm just not quite sure always of my significance in the big scheme of things. But if you do ever wonder that, can I encourage you to have a look at Psalm 8? Because it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Do grab a Bible if you've got one nearby, or Jane, maybe we could have the words up on screen as we go through the psalm together. And I just want to look at some of the language in there. And I'm slightly disappointed, I have to say, because in some versions of the Bible, that first "O Lord" is all in capital letters, but it doesn't show up that way in this one, nor indeed in the church Bibles. But it's not the same, "O Lord, our Lord." Sometimes my boss comes to me and says, "Christopher, Christopher, Christopher." And that means the same thing, and it's normally not very good. But here, David's saying, "O Lord, our Lord." And if the first one was in capital letters, which, as I say, in a lot of translations it is, that is Yahweh. That is the Old Testament God as revealed to Moses. And the second Lord, our Lord, with just a capital L, that's not Yahweh. That's not the same. The second one is Adonai, Lord, owner, master. If you like, the boss of your life, the one to whom you owe allegiance. So, O Lord, Yahweh, God's title, God's name rather, and then our Lord, Adonai, God's title in our lives. He goes on in verse 1 there. How majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Now the heavens obviously are up there, and the sky is pretty big. But if his glory is above that, how much bigger must it be? Completely inescapable. It is everywhere. It surrounds us. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. Isn't that lovely? God ordains praise. He makes us praise him. It's not our decision, it's his. And why? To silence the foe and the avenger. So our prayers do that work. Our praise silences the foe and the avenger. Verse 3, when I consider the heavens. Now, just imagine, this is written by David, and you can picture him before he was the king, when he was a shepherd boy, lying out on a hillside at night. There was a lot less ambient light in those days than there is now. No electric street lamps or anything like that. So David lying there on a dark hillside, looking at the stars. on a normal night, with as little ambient light as we can get nowadays, there are about 5,000 stars visible to the naked eye. That's obviously in both hemispheres. So at any one time, if you go and find a nice dark field and lie out on the deck there, you will see about 2,500 stars with the naked eye. And that's what David could see. And on the strength of that, he says how wonderful God's creation is. But we now have more than just our naked eyes. If we were to get a sort of smallish telescope, we would see up to 5 million stars. If we were to go to an observatory, we would see hundreds of millions of stars. We don't know exactly how many there are, but astronomers estimate that there are a septillion stars. And for those of you who don't know what a septillion is, that will be a 1 followed by 24 zeros. That's how many stars they reckon there are. So David, looking at 2,500, said, "What an amazing creation we have." He didn't know the half of it, did he? He didn't know the half of it. And it's not just up there that there are the wonders of God's creation. Down here on earth as well. 7.4 billion people estimated in the world. Every one of them different. And the wonderful variety of plants, of nature, it's just extraordinary. And David said that that is the work of God's fingers. Not his hands. We often talk here about the work of God's hands. But this is God's fingers. There's a lovely sort of suggestion of intimacy and of intricacy there, isn't there? The very fine motor skills. It's not a pat. It's just a touch with the finger to make creation exactly as he wants it to be. And so David says, given all of this, given all this amazing stuff that you've made, what is man that you care for them? And the son of man, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him? He brings it right back down. In all that glory, God still cares intimately for every one of us. And not just us here today. It's everybody in the team ministry that Peter was talking about. All the people locally who are going to church, who are praising God. But not just them. It's the other people out there as well who don't know him. He still cares for them. And I love the nuances of the verbs as well. What is man that you're mindful of him? If you dig back into the language originally, mindful in that sense means remember. So God's looking after everything else, but he still remembers us. And the word care for, the son of man that you care for him, is to pay attention to. And isn't that a lovely thought too? That God pays attention to us. If we have a conversation with somebody, what do we want? We want them to pay attention. We want them to listen. And that's what God's doing to us. He's listening to us. So if you ever wonder what the point of your prayers is, it's right there, isn't it? God pays attention to us. He listens to us. And it's interesting as well that in all the universe. We have been engaged on a desperate search for other life forms out there in the universe, haven't we? And yet, to date, we haven't found anything. So who knows? Maybe, I'm not saying that it is, but maybe we are the only ones here. And God cares for us. There's a wonderful statistic about the chances of life on Earth existing. Everything had to come together so exactly for all of this to exist, everything that we know. They say that the chances of it happening are the same as the chances of a hurricane going through a junkyard and leaving in its wake a fully functional jumbo jet. That is how much God cares for us. That is how exactly, how precisely he made us. Stephen Hawking was asked to give a probability as to what the chances were of there being other life in the universe or in any of the universes that we know about. And I know he's recently sort of commissioned a big study to try and find life, but he was asked what the chances of success were. And this man is phenomenally bright. And he said, well, if I'm honest, the closest number to the probability is nil. But in all of that, God made everything just right for this, for us. And how important are we? If we have a look at verse 5, have we got it up there? Yes. What is man that you are mindful of him, the Son of Man? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings. So we're pretty important in God's scheme of things, aren't we? The word used there, the heavenly beings, is a word that could mean God or angels. So we are lower, yes. Obviously we're lower than God and angels. But it's only a little lower. We are important in God's plan. And then he goes on to say that we were made ruler over the works of God's hands, and God puts everything under us. It's a reminder of our place in God's plan. He made us ruler of his works. In Genesis, God says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground. We're made in his image, and we are made to work with him to look after creation. In Genesis 2:15, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And again, the language is so specific. The word work comes from a word which means to serve. To take care of means to guard, to keep, to watch over, to protect. We're in a position of huge trust. We're in a position of rulership and responsibility. Without rulership, we would be on a par with the animals and everything else. Without responsibility, we would be answerable to no one for what we do. but we're called by God into partnership with him to do his work, to guard over his creation. So can I encourage you? Be awestruck by God's creation and don't take it for granted. Be amazed at how much he loves and cares for us and accept it gladly. Be humbled at the job he's given us to do, the invitation to partnership with him, and take it seriously. And we can't do this on our own. We can only do this with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Yahweh, Adonai, Old Testament God, our Lord and Master. Amen.